Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson. Yesterday, we looked at an article that is posted currently on the internet, an article written by ABC reporter Gregory J. Krieg, an article titled, Mormons, the Least You Should Know. He starts off his piece by referring us back to the last presidential election where that time candidate Mike Huckabee, as he says, was talking to a New York Times reporter for a magazine piece during that year's primary season when, after conceding he didn't know much about the religion, reportedly asked, "Don't Mormons believe that Jesus and the devil are brothers?" In the very next paragraph, Mr. Krieg, this reporter, says, "The answer is no. Mormons do not believe that, nor does Mormonism teach it. There is no such thing written in any of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints doctrine." What do you think about that, Eric?
Well, I mean, we talked about this as far as doctrine. It's being a teaching. And the next sentence in that article says Huckabee would later apologize to Romney. I don't think either you or I would have done that. In fact, I
don't think that Mr. Huckabee owed an apology for that statement. Now, it could be argued that he threw it out there for shock value. Okay, that could be a valid argument, but the question is, it still remains, don't they believe that? I want to know is, where did Mr. Krieg come up with this answer to say the answer is no? Is that what the Mormons are telling him? Is that what the LDS Church is telling him? Because as we've seen in this last series that we did, looking at their newsroom article, Mormonism 101 FAQ, we find that many times when the Mormon Church claims that it has the responsibility of being clear about its doctrine, that it most certainly has not been clear when people ask them very straightforward questions about what they believe and teach.
In 2010, I attended an event where Mike Huckabee was actually speaking at a church, and after the service, I bought one of his books so I could walk up to him and get it signed, and as he was signing it, I handed him a copy of our book, Mormonism 101, which is interesting, the title, because Mormonism 101 FAQ, this was our book, and I handed it to him, and I said, "In case you decide you want to run again, here's something that you might want to have." And he looked at it, and he looked at me, and he thanked me. So, I mean, what we try to do in that book and what we try to do on this show and in our ministry is to state what is it that Mormonism teaches. We're not trying to kick straw men. We're not trying to destroy something that's not there. We go to their sources in order to determine.
And here's the difference, Eric, between what we do at Mormonism Research Ministry and what a reporter like Gregory Krieg does. We document what we say. We document it. These reporters are making assertions. They aren't giving references as to where they found these things. So Krieg gives this answer. The answer is no. And yet you and I both have had Latter-day Saints tell us to our face that they do believe that Jesus and Lucifer are brothers. And I've even had some Mormons look at me kind of cross-eyed like, why do you have a problem with that? Well, it's because I don't have a Mormon worldview, and it doesn't make sense to me in light of what the New Testament teaches.
Well, with that being said, let's go back. You quoted yesterday, Times and Season, going back to the 1840s. Let's quote second LDS President Brigham Young, who on October 11th, 1867, said, "Who is it that is at the head of this? It is the devil, the mighty Lucifer, the great prince of the angels, and the brother of Jesus." He says this in Journal of Discourses, Volume 6, page 207.
Exactly. And he was the most powerful leader the Mormon Church has ever had, in my opinion. Held that position longer than any other leader in the LDS Church.
Let me give you another quote. Mormon Apostle James Talmage. He said in Jesus the Christ, page 132, "Christ, the creator of heaven and earth, tabernacled as he then was in mortal flesh, may not have remembered his pre-existent state, nor the part he had taken in the great council of the gods, while Satan, an unembodied spirit, he, the disinherited, the rebellious, and rejected son."
That's important. the rejected son, because in Mormon theology, we are all literally related as sons and daughters of God. We are all brothers and sisters according to the Mormon worldview, and that would include Jesus and Lucifer. He's not only related to Jesus. Lucifer is not only related to Jesus as a brother, but if you're a Latter-day Saint, you know that he's also your brother. You have to know that. So for Krieg to say that that's not possible just doesn't make sense in light of the Mormon worldview.
Let me play devil's advocate. That was just his opinion, James Talmadge, just saying what he decided he wanted to say, wrote it in a book. It's not in our standard works, a Mormon might say.
The problem for the Mormon argument on that one is it was written in the book Jesus the Christ, page 132. And that was a book that the First Presidency asked James Talmadge to write. He had done a series of lectures dealing with issues of Mormon doctrine, and they asked him to put those lectures in book form. In fact, as we understand it, when he finished a chapter, he would present it to the First Presidency for them to look it over. And not only the First Presidency, but the Council of the Twelve. Mm. So we have to assume that what is in Jesus the Christ was approved by the leadership of the Mormon Church. It was not just James Talmadge's opinion.
I was at Temple Square probably 10 or 15 years ago. I don't remember exact details, but I remember asking the older missionary gentleman about the standard works, and is that how I can understand Mormonism? And I said, are there any other books that I can get that would help me to better understand? And he says, well, yes, there is. There are two books by James Talmadge, and he listed Jesus the Christ and Articles of Faith. And I said, so I could read those books and believe that to be true? And he says, every word of it. He mentioned what you just said, that this was commissioned for him to write, and so he wrote it with the approval. Mm-hmm. And those books are not standard works, but they certainly are truthful.
So, again, I have to ask, where did Mr. Krieg get his information? Who's telling him this? We also have Mormon Apostle John A. Witzo.
Yeah, he said in Evidences and Reconciliations on page 209, the story of Lucifer is the most terrible example of such apostasy. Lucifer, son of the morning, through diligent search for truth and the use of it, had become one of the foremost in the assembly of those invited to undertake the experience of earth. But in that great council, his personal ambition and love of power overcame him. He pitted his own plan and will against the purposes of God. He strove to gain the birthright of his elder brother, Jesus the Christ.
Now, what makes that quote especially interesting is that if you had a copy of Evidences and Reconciliations, look at the foreword in the front of the book. It was written by Mormon Apostle Richard L. Evans. Question, do you really think a Mormon apostle is going to write the foreword to a book that he feels contains false doctrine or teachings that were not believed by the Latter-day Saints at that particular time? I doubt it. Not only that, in 1915, the LDS periodical called The Improvement Era ran an article titled The Temptation of Christ. In that article, this is some of the points that were made. It is said, I'm quoting, it is said that after Jesus had fasted 40 days, he was unhungered. How keen the pangs of starvation, we shall never know. He must have been at the point of famishing, or the greatest test was not yet made. The hour had come to strike. Every spirit throughout the limitless empires was intense with fear and hope. The two brothers were about to meet. The one starving and trembling was at his weakest point, proving himself to be worthy of being the savior of the world. The other, Lucifer, the star of the morning, though defeated in heaven, was now at the height of his glory, the prince of earth, with all nations at his feet. Did Lucifer pale at the thought of offering all of his conquest? Yet to be rejected would be a defeat as fatal as his defeat in heaven. Stand with me in fancy's realm and picture the scene anew. The two brothers are face to face, the one holding the kingdoms of the earth as his own, the other come to redeem them from their enslaved condition. Lucifer not only claimed the earth and her inhabitants, but he held them in the bondage of ignorance and superstitions. This is Improvement Era, October 1915. It's volume 18, number 12, if you want to look it up. So clearly, this is what they were teaching, at least in 1915.
Well, continuing on, if we want to give some more quotes, and I know the show is filled with quotes, but we're just trying to show using sources with page numbers for people to be able to see that this is really a teaching. But Spencer Kimball, in the teachings of Spencer W. Kimball, pages 32 through 33, said, "Long before you were born, a program was developed by your creators. The principal personalities in this great drama were a father Elohim, perfect in wisdom, judgment, and person, and two sons, Lucifer and Jehovah."
Well, clearly it sounds like Spencer Kimball knew who these two were, and he was the 12th president of the Mormon Church. Let's very quickly go on and show that in the teachings of Spencer W. Kimball, page 34, he says, "In the wilderness of Judea, on the temple's pinnacles and on the high mountain, a momentous contest took place between two brothers, Jehovah and Lucifer, sons of Elohim." And of course, Jehovah is the name that Mormons give to Jesus when he was in the pre-existence. We have also another quotation by Spencer Kimball.
"The importance of not accommodating temptation in the least degree is underlined by the Savior's example. Did not he recognize the danger when he was on the mountain with his fallen brother Lucifer, being sorely tempted by that master tempter?" Now, that's found in the teachings of Spencer W. Kimball, page 163, but also in the teachings of Presence of the Church, Spencer W. Kimball, pages 107 and 108. Why is that important?
Well, it's important because that is a manual that the Mormons just went through just a few years ago, and it's a vetted manual, it's a correlated manual, and Mormons are supposed to believe what is taught in these particular manuals. It was given to the membership to read out of and learn from.
Let me give you one more from Spencer Kimball, Faith Precedes the Miracle, page 87. "Similarly, Satan had contended for the subservience of Moses. Satan, also a son of God, had rebelled and had been cast out of heaven and not permitted an earthly body, as had his brother Jehovah."
Much depended upon the outcome of this spectacular duel, it says. So clearly we see that there have been several teachings from Mormon leaders, both past and, as we're going to see tomorrow, even present, to some that are still alive, that have taught this doctrine, this teaching. And so we have to wonder again, where did Mr. Krieg get his information?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that is eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.